Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. During our time when we sleep, it is the time that our body should detoxify, especially from electromagnetic frequencies and electricity and light and various types of frequencies that are hitting our brain, that are hitting our lymphatic system. If we don't have that downtime, the body stays in a constant state of cortisol going up. And this is not a place where we can have any type of restorative detoxification, especially for our brain and our lymphatic systems. So what we're talking about tonight with my guest, Dr. Joe Mercola, who is an osteopathic physician, and he practices a whole person approach. Dr. Mercola is brilliant. He has talked about treating the entire person rather than just symptoms. And when you talk about that, you focus on preventative health care and you ho focus on lifestyle and attitudes that don't just fight illnesses, but help prevent it. And we are living in a day and age where we have to help our bodies prevent illness and disease more than ever. And it's not just enough to eat healthy, but we need to learn where the attacks are coming from and what we can do to mitigate those attacks. So we're going to be talking about that with Dr. Joe Mercola tonight. He has a new book out called EMF'd, and it is all about the questions that we're going to be talking about tonight is ways that we can really get around some of these exposures, some great solutions that are going to be offered in tonight's conversation. So we will be right back with Dr. Joe Mercola. And Lisa Gar, you're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar. My guest, Dr. Joseph Mercola, has been just a health icon for me. I remember when I had ventured into my gluten-free lifestyle as a necessity for my life to really learn how to eat foods that didn't cause my body to go into great inflammation. I learned about the no-grain diet, and that was one of Dr. Mercola's New York Times best-selling books, and it made such a huge difference in my life. And many friends of mine speak very highly of Dr. Joe. And he has written a new book of the many, many that he's written called EMF'd, 5G, Wi-Fi, and Cell Phones, Hidden Harms and How to Protect Yourself. Specifically, we're talking tonight about the protection part of it. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mercola. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Lisa.
Absolutely. You've made a big difference in my life, and I'm really grateful to be able to personally thank you. Thank you very much. So
You're welcome.
let's talk about the stresses from electromagnetic frequencies. We see these commercials now that are coming up on television about how great 5G is going to be for us and how fast our download speeds are. What is it doing to our bodies?
Well, it's causing damage. There's not many people or experts who would dispute the fact that X-ray exposures will damage your body. We know it causes damage to your DNA. It's very clear. And that's why precautions are taken when you go and get an X-ray at the dentist. They'll put a lead apron over your body to protect you. So similarly, the exposure to these EMFs, specifically radio frequencies and electricity, over time can cause damage. It damages your DNA in a similar but not identical way, which is the challenge. And most of the wireless industry is promoting the fact that it's safe because it's basing its claims on the damage that's not being caused by breaking DNA directly, but by thermal effects, because these frequencies are in your Wi-Fi phone, a Wi-Fi router, and your cell phone are very similar to the frequencies used in your microwave oven. So their speculation is that the only way it can hurt you is by causing your body to heat up, and their studies show that it doesn't cause damage that way. And if that is true, it doesn't cause biological damage by hitting your body. It causes it in a different way, basically by increasing oxidative stress in your body. Similarly, the way the X-rays do.
So is this why there are a lot of claims saying that they're you know, that it's not bad for you and that 5G is the way of the future. Is that how they can get away with that? Because it's not causing direct DNA damage?
Well, the claims that it's safe for you are really what they use to justify the promotion of that, because there's large amounts of revenues that they're going to earn as a result of having these devices available.
Right.
You know, when I'm sure most everyone listening was connected to the internet prior to this century, and when they were, they didn't connect wirelessly; they connected through a wire. So I'm not stating or claiming that the access to these services is pernicious or harmful. It is the way we connect to the internet that is the challenge.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
Yeah, so that's, you know, basically started in 2007 with the introduction of the iPhone, where the widespread adoption of wireless became really a challenge.
So we have these different, I mean, since then, it's many different ways that our frequencies are manipulated through wireless. What about through other types of manipulations? Tell us other ways that we get exposures to EMFs and what that does to the body.
Well, first of all, not all EMFs are harmful or dangerous. Visible light is an EMF. And of course, we all know that regular exposure to sunlight is something that we need to stay healthy. It not only provides us with vitamin D, but it helps increase things like nitric oxide in our body, which normalizes our blood pressure and helps structure the water in our body. So the problem becomes in the intensities of these exposures. And if you reflect back 100 years ago to 1920, which doesn't seem that long ago, I mean, some people probably listening to this were still alive at that point. So the exposure we had to these frequencies were at a certain level. So if we were to measure that level and then compare it to the exposure today, well, how much of an increase do you think we'd have?
A huge. I would think, yes.
Yeah. So what do you think that increase would be? 10, 100, 1,000, a million?
I would say maybe 100.
Okay, that would be a common answer, 100, and that seems rational.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the correct answer is exponential. It's not even a billion. It's not 10 billion. It's not 100 billion. It's not 1,000 billion. It's not a million billion. It's a billion billion.
Wow.
That's 10 with 15 zeros after
uh-huh.
it. So it would seem somewhat irrational to not believe that there's some biological consequence from an exposure to an increase of this sort of magnitude. And it's not just humans. It's insects and trees and plants and bees. So this is affecting most all biological life.
But there's really no way around it. Everywhere you go, if it's not your house that has the Wi-Fi, it's your neighbor's house that has it. If you drive down the street, you're getting 5G towers that are being put in. How do you possibly get around it?
That is correct.
Yeah.
It's even more correct than most people appreciate, because what they don't understand, there's no reason why they should necessarily, with all the information that's being thrown at them, is that there is a company called SpaceX, run by Elon Musk, who has a subdivision called Starlink, which has already launched 300 satellites into low Earth orbit and has permission to launch a total of 42,000 satellites, all broadcasting these frequencies. So if you think things are bad now, they're going to be much worse in the near future. And he's actually going to be offering internet service later this year. So
from those satellites?
From the satellites, yeah. So there will be 42,000 satellites. This is 20 times more than the total number of satellites that have ever been put up combined. So it was difficult to avoid it, but you could go to remote areas and still find them. They were progressively harder to find, but now it's going to be close to impossible. So you are correct. It's not going to be
avoidable.
It will be impossible essentially to escape them when you're in the public. There are things you can do in your home, which I discuss in the book, which will provide you a safe sanctuary so that you can rest and recover and repair from some of the damage that's occurring.
So let's talk about some of those. Infrared saunas. Is that a good way to start? Yeah, let's start there. What do those do? How do you access them? Explain a little bit about that.
Well, actually, infrared saunas, most of them are defined as or categorized as far infrared. I mean, you can get other types, but that's the most common. And interestingly, I never finished answering your questions on the types of EMFs because there's four basic types. One is the radio frequencies, the cell phones, the Wi-Fi, the cell phone towers. The other is electrical fields. The third is magnetic fields. And the fourth is a derivative of electric fields, which is called dirty electricity, which is high voltage transients, which are artifacts of switching power supplies. So the problem with saunas, most all saunas, especially the far infrared saunas, is that they are, many of them are high in both magnetic and electric fields, not radio frequency fields, unless they have Bluetooth or something playing on, but that would be unusual. But almost all of some of the newer ones claim that they're no EMF, but they only have low magnetic fields or close to low magnetic fields. But they almost every single one, I've not found one yet that doesn't have high electric fields. So even though exposure heat is one of the like you would receive in a traditional Finnish sauna, has been shown consistently to increase health span and decrease your risk from a wide variety of cardiovascular diseases. Those observations were done with not electric saunas or saunas that cause these electric fields. So there may be some problems with these regular exposures to the electric field. So I'm a big fan of saunas, and I do saunas every day, but I don't do it in a traditional sauna.
So can you go to these places that have the low infrared saunas, or do you recommend getting one, or how do you do that?
Well, the infrared is heat, so they all have heat. It depends on the way the heat is generated, if it's through an electrical ceramic panel or if it's done through essentially a heat lamp, like a light bulb, or or even a fire would do it. A fire is the ideal way if you can address the gases and the smoke coming out, but that would be because it's just the heat exposure, and heat is infrared rays. I mean, that's essentially how
did you say fire is
transmitted?
Fire is an ideal way to mitigate EMFs?
No, fire is an ideal way to generate the heat to provide the exposure for the detox benefits and the increase of heat shock protein.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Now, is there a way for us to be able to measure how much of an exposure we are having in our own bodies to EMFs?
Yeah, I discussed that quite thoroughly in the book, and there's a wide variety of instruments, from inexpensive to professional grade instruments, and obviously you don't need a professional grade instrument to do that, but you would need meters that measure each of these categories. So there's four different types of effects, and there's many meters that combine them, but some of the inexpensive ones, when they combine three of the features like electric, magnetic, and radio frequency fields, they don't do it very well. So there's a few that do, and I discuss those in the book. So you can get ones that do that for about $200 or so. And then you could effectively screen for these frequencies in your home, which is the best way to do that, because part of the problem is that unlike smoking and cigarettes, which you can visibly see and smell, these EMF frequencies are invisible. So, and they provide us with incredible convenience and benefits. So there's not a lot of motivation to want to believe that they're dangerous. They're potentially biologically harmful. So when you can see them and hear them, because many of these meters have audible feedback, then it makes it a lot easier to identify them and take remediative actions.
And what about, is there any way to measure the amount of EMF exposure in the body? You can measure it around the room, But what about in the body?
Well, it's not like it's stored in the body. It's sort of a toxic influence. So you can measure the levels. You can actually use your body as an antenna, which is actually a more effective way to do it, because most of these meters, they have an antenna, and you're only measuring the EMFs around the frequencies around that antenna. But there are a number of meters that allow you to connect to the meter directly, which allows your body, which is the ideal, to be the antenna, because that's what you want to measure, the amount of frequencies that your body is being exposed to, not necessarily the antenna next to your body.
Right, right. And so there's not an actual way to measure that in the body, but there is a way to measure the effects.
Yeah, there's to measure what your body's being exposed to specific frequencies, right?
Okay. And then you said that it damages the DNA. And mm-hmm.
That's the primary way where it causes biological complications.
And how much damage, and is there a direct link to the specific type of DNA damage and EMFs?
Well, it depends on the exposures and the frequencies that you're exposed to, but it can cause a very wide variety of symptoms. But one of the most common is tinnitus, or ringing in the ears.
Mm.
And which affects tens of millions of people, and they're not aware, every one of these, that this exposure to these EMF frequencies that is the most likely culprit. Other common symptoms would be arrhythmias, where you have an abnormal rhythm in your heart, like atrial fibrillation or atrial flutter. And there are millions of people who have this also, which is commonly associated to these exposures of these frequencies. It can cause increases in neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. It can also increase the risk of symptoms in the autism spectrum and ADHD. Mm-hmm. And infertility has also been increases have been closely associated with exposure to EMF. So it causes a wide variety of clinical symptoms.
This is a simple question, but through cell phone use, does it lower the amount of EMFs if you have the phone on the audible in the car rather than having it up to your ear or having it done through an AirPod or wireless headsets?
Well, all good points that you bring up there. Typically, the normal principle is to keep distance between you and the exposure. So the further your phone is away from you, the better. So there would be some benefit to using the speakers in your car rather than holding it next to your head, which I think might be illegal in many communities.
Yes, it is now. Yes.
Prohibitions against it. So that would be one, but then you can use AirPods, which have become very popular, and those may be even worse for the reason that the frequency is... It's not even on your head, it's in your head. So it's difficult to get closer to your head than the AirPods do. And even worse is that there are many people wear them continuously, but essentially wear them as long as they're awake. So their exposure is greatly increased. And it's far worse than not using it. So not a good idea. You could use a wired.
Are those better?
The wire would be better, yes.
They would be.
Or what I tend to use, and it is free, is a speakerphone.
Yes, and that's available on all phones.
most all phones have it. It's unusual to find a phone without it. But the big principle and really one of the most important strategies you can do to protect yourself is to really never, unless you have an emergency, put your phone on your body, in your pocket, in your bra, unless it's in airplane mode, because it's going to be blasting your body even when
constantly.
You're not talking.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're not talking, because it's continually connecting to the cell phone tower.
I have a friend who constantly, she's a trainer, a workout trainer, constantly had the phone in her bra, and she got cancer in the exact spot that she had that phone for years. So it's very interesting. So we're going to take a quick break, Dr. Mercola, and we're going to come back. More questions about how you can protect yourself from EMF frequencies and some of the other effects of them. When we come back, I'm Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr. My guest is Dr. Joe Mercola, and his latest book is called EMF, 5G, Wi-Fi and Cell Phones, The Hidden Harms and How to Protect Yourself. Dr. Mercola, can you tell us what are some of the most common EMF exposures in most homes, and then how do you remediate those?
Well, the two most common would be your cell phone or mobile device, and then your Wi-Fi router, which are the ones that you have the most control over, thankfully, and they seem to cause the most exposure. So the strategies are quite simple, and I go to them extensively in the book, because taking care of your cell phone is probably one of the most important things you can do. How long does your cell phone last, the battery, with respect to, before you have to charge it again?
Gosh, mine could last probably 8 hours.
8 hours. So sometimes you have to charge it twice a day. Yeah. So the benefit of adopting these strategies is that you won't have to do that anymore. Do you know how long my cell phone charge lasts?
Do you use a cell phone?
I do use a cell phone. Yes. I'm not a technophobe, and when I travel, I have to hail a Lyft or an Uber.
Right, right.
And to get from point A to point B.
Okay.
So I do use it.
How long does yours last?
2 weeks.
What? Ooh, do tell. What have you got on that thing? Wow.
I basically keep it in airplane mode most of the time. Now, I also have an iPhone Max or iPhone Pro Max, I think they call it. So it has a longer battery. But still, that's almost everyone can get up to a week if they adopt the following strategy, which is essentially keep it in airplane mode most of the time.
Except
you absolutely have to use it.
Is the EMF exposure higher when you're charging the phone?
If the phone's on, it would be no difference. But so you keep the phone in airplane mode, and then there should be very little. There still is some, which is why to take it to the next step, there's these little Faraday bags that you can get on Amazon for your phone, about $5 a piece. And you can put your phone in airplane mode in that bag, and that will pretty much block most all of the radiation coming out of it.
What is that? What is a Faraday bag?
Faraday bag is a little bag that has a Velcro closure that essentially envelops the phone in this silver fabric with silver threads in it that essentially forms this cage where radiation is radically reduced, almost close to zero.
Fabulous. That's great. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can...
They're also good for protecting against things like EMPs, electromagnetic pulses that happen in nuclear explosions, which would essentially destroy these circuits. That's one of the strategies that they use in warfare to take out a country or a community is they'll detonate these EMPs.
That's great, and you can get them for your laptops and all sorts of things.
Yeah, but it's not you typically wouldn't do it for your laptop. The most important one is for your phone,
right?
Because that's one of your most exposures. So for your laptop, you can connect through a wire. And it's really important, just like your phone, because it has the same option to put your phone, your laptop or notebook into airplane mode, which means it's not connected. Because you can connect your notebook to an Ethernet connection, a wire, and still not have it in airplane mode, and you're still getting exposed. So it doesn't recognize the fact that you're connected to a wire. It will still broadcast a signal unless you manually put it in airplane mode.
What about these devices that you put on your phone, the pendants or the stickers that you put on your phone? They're
harmonizers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there may be some benefit to some people to calm the nervous system and such, but they don't do anything to limit your exposure to these frequencies. So they're still impacting your body, causing this DNA damage. And the potential problem, they can be used in addition to the strategies I recommend, but if you're using them in place of that and you believe you have some protection and you continue to put your phone in your bra or put it up to your head when you're talking, they give you a false sense of security and can radically increase your risk because you're not taking the appropriate precautions.
I've seen these for years. I mean, they have certain a resin in them or a stone or a crystal or something.
There's such a wide variety. There really are. And some of them may provide some benefit, but and I'm not opposed to using them. They just need to be used in addition to the other strategies where you're limiting your exposure to these frequencies.
Now, what about the clothing? Can you actually get EMF shielding clothing?
You sure can, and that's what I wear when I travel. My house has a very low exposure, which is one of the great strategies, especially a bedroom. You can do things like put shielding in your bedroom and shield your walls, your floors, your windows, and get very low levels. And that's probably the best thing to do to give yourself a strategy and a chance to heal, because you repair and regenerate at night. If you're continually being blasted with these frequencies, it's just really hard to get healthy. So, but you can also wear clothing like T-shirts, caps, underwear, that you go into the environment. They will protect you. They radically reduce your exposures. They don't completely eliminate it, because you have to be in a Faraday bag, which would
Whole
body, like a beekeeper. You know, your whole body would have to be covered up.
What would the clothing be made out of? Is it silver or what?
Similar type of materials to Faraday bags. So it's usually a fabric that has silver threads embedded in it, or silver coated threads. So it forms this metallic shield around whatever you're encasing it in.
Got it. And so they are good in terms of protection, and you can either use a pillowcase or sheets, or you can find the clothing or just put the phone directly in it.
Well, that's a different purpose. You know, pillowcases and sheets would be something more similar to grounding. That's not necessarily EMF protection.
They're
two different concepts.
Tell me the difference.
Well, grounding is a very helpful strategy that essentially connects you back to the earth, and the earth has a surplus of electrons which can transfer to your body to provide essentially antioxidant protection. So it's a really great strategy from time immemorial until the last century or so in North America, when the companies, electrical generation companies, decided to not use a return wire to the substation. So they essentially contaminated the ground with these high voltage transients, or something called dirty electricity. So in North America, grounding is not such a good strategy.
Okay.
Europe and in Asia and Central America, South America, Australia, it's not an issue. So you can ground there and get healthy things. Now, there are places in North America where you can still ground healthily, like on the ocean or in certain very remote areas. But mostly in North America, it's not a good idea.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a difference there. Now, what about this, if you have a compromised immune system already or an autoimmune disease, could EMFs heighten the negative effects of that autoimmune disease?
Sure, they can make whatever condition you have worse, because it's just adding additional stressors to your body that it has to compensate for in some way. So it's taking energy away from what your normal activities or biological activities would typically be. So you have less energy to address those.
Okay. So if you have any type of autoimmune dysfunction or chronic dysfunction, it's a good idea to find some of these ways to mitigate this. Let's talk about getting in your car.
There's other strategies for autoimmune. The two big ones would be exposure to the sun naturally on the large surface area of your skin, so you can increase vitamin D, because vitamin D is probably one of the most potent strategies to lower autoimmune dysfunction. And also we're finding that many plants can catalyze this autoimmune reaction. So there's a newer strategy of eating, which is called carnivore, where you're excluding all plants, that if people have severe autoimmune diseases like MS or Hashimoto's thyroiditis or rheumatoid arthritis, that these strategies seem to provide some benefit.
They remove the plants from the diet, or they make themselves a plant-based diet?
No, they remove plants from the diet. It's called the carnivore diet.
Right. And so this is something that
for people with autoimmune disease, it seems to notice some benefit with it.
Interesting. I get the no grain thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Plants would be, of course, a type of grain. as you mentioned earlier in the intro, that was my very first book in 16 years ago.
Yes. Yes. Oh, God, is that how long ago I read it? Yeah, that made a big difference that I didn't realize that people with autoimmune disease have an allergy to all grains, not just wheat, but it, rice and beans and legumes and anything that comes from the soil. Yeah.
They're high in carbohydrates, so that can be another strategy. And actually, when you optimize your diet and have metabolic flexibility, can burn fat or carbohydrates easily and readily, that will give your body the resilience to burn fuel efficiently so that you can have reserves to help fight these EMF exposures.
That's the bottom line, is basically as much as you can help your body not fight. If it's in the constant state of fighting, then it's going to eventually break down and it's going to produce less and less energy. And
if you very accurately mentioned early on, is that it activates your sympathetic nervous system, which is when you're in a sauna, which is it's precisely what you don't want to do. You want to be in parasympathetic mode to detox.
Yes, and that includes sleep, which we do after we listen to Coast to Coast, of course. But there, okay, so there are the difference also from being in your car. So say that you have the EMF protection clothing or the bag, but the minute you get in your car, you're in, you're surrounded by it, especially with the new tech in today's cars. How can you protect yourself against that? Because we know a lot about the effects, but we're looking for really practical ways to protect ourselves.
Right, that's an issue. It's even getting worse because self-driving cars, and I have one, Tesla.
Oh, you do? But isn't that operated off of 5G technology?
No, it only has 4G. There's no vehicles that I know that have 5G. 5G implementation is relatively uncommon at this point. It's really in beta testing. There's no widespread adoption in any city. So, but the...
I thought that actually, was one of the main reasons for 5G was the
self-driving
cars.
It's not active. I mean, the deployment of 5G is going to take years before it's widespread. But that is one of the justifications is self-driving cars. But part of the process of self-driving involves the implementation of radar, which is another type of radio frequency. So when you have a lot of self-driving vehicles on the road, you're going to be not only bombarded with the existing frequencies, but additional ones from these devices to help the cars navigate. So you will be blasted, you are correct. So one of the things you can do is, the simple thing is many vehicles have Wi-Fi in the car. So you can go into the settings of your vehicle and turn it off. That will help. And just like I mentioned the different types, there's magnetic frequencies, and many ICE cars or internal combustion engine cars do have high magnetic fields. And the only way you know is to measure them. There's really not a lot you can do to shield yourself against a magnetic field, other than find a different type of vehicle. So ideally, you would measure it before you purchase the vehicle. And then there's electric fields, which are usually typically a problem in cars, but then the radio frequency fields, which are because of the implementation and adoption of these Wi-Fi chips within the vehicle itself to get to do navigation for your car, but also download and stream audio into your car.
I was listening to an interview with the man who created Waze, and before he sold it, and he was talking about the technology.
It was an Israeli.
Yes. And he was talking about the technology that Waze was based on, and originally that it was based on users, all AI. And as the users would use the app, then it would create the maps, and it would create the flow of traffic that the maps were using. It wound up not working in the long run because it was it needed more enhanced technology, and that's basically when Google bought it. And I find it interesting with these self-drive. He was the one who said, if you're in the car industry and you don't adapt to the self-driving car disruption, that you will be obsolete within 10 years because most cars are going to
probably even sooner. I've seen that now.
Yeah, so it's going in that direction, but how do self-driving cars, it's interesting that you made that choice being talking about or writing a book on EMFs. I don't they have a lot of electromagnetic frequencies, the self-driving cars? Or is it mostly AI?
No, well, the radar, as I said, is an issue, but you can shield yourself from this with the EMF protective clothing. And the other issue is just not being in cars very much. So I typically drive less than 1,000 miles a year, so my exposure is relatively moderate. So it's again, it's very similar to cigarette smoking. And that you could, if you smoke a few cigarettes, you're certainly increasing your risk of disease, but it's a lot different than smoking 2 cigarettes versus smoking 2 packs of cigarettes. So the more your exposure, the likely you are to acquire some illness as a result of that.
And there's secondhand smoke because you're going to get
Yeah,
exposed to it no
that's
matter what, is basically what you're saying. You're just finding ways to be able to protect ourselves from it. It's everywhere.
Yeah, and there are certain things because we that you can do nutritionally.
Okay.
Such as, well, one of the ways that EMF exposure causes damage in the DNA, your body has a mechanism to repair it. It's this enzyme system called PARP, P-A-R-P. And PARP consumes a real important biomolecule in your body called NAD, nicotinamide N-acetylnucleotide. And that is really important for signaling and fueling your body and producing energy. And when you deplete it, you really radically increase your risk for all these diseases. So there's two simple things you can do to increase NAD. One is to simply exercise. Exercise is a very important strategy. So that will increase NAD by about 30%. And the other is to do a form of calorie restriction called time-restricted eating, where you're only eating for about 6 to 8 hours a day. And that will also increase NAD.
I have
So
heard
those are
about
two
that.
simple
Yeah.
free ways to increase NAD. The third, of course, and most important, is to limit your exposure to these frequencies. Because when you are regularly exposed, you're going to reduce your NAD just because your body's using it to repair the DNA damage.
The what did you call that? Time exposure eating?
No, time-restricted eating,
Restricted.
sometimes called intermittent fasting. We are only eating in about 6 or 8 hours a day
Right. A friend of mine
in a
just
window.
actually cleared cancer out of her body doing this. Very interesting
Yeah, it's a
concept.
very powerful strategy. It's so simple. It doesn't cost anything. You don't necessarily need to reduce your calories, but most people wind up doing that. And it allows your body this window to repair and recover, and especially if you don't eat for at least 3 to 4 hours before you go to bed. A mistake that so many people make. I mean, so many people are eating 16 hours a day. They eat as soon as they get up and
Right.
when they go to bed.
Right.
But if you give your body the chance to not have food for a while, there's a type of fasting that will provide dramatic benefits to your health.
It restores itself. All right, we're going to talk more about that and protection against EMFs when we come back. This is Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.